Well, it's good to be able to specifically focus on the work of CAP today on this particular CAP Sunday, joining with over 500 churches across the country, indeed across the world, as John was just telling us today. You're probably aware that the Norwich Central Debt Centre has now been running here at Surrey Chapel for some 5.5 years now. It started back in May 2012, and it's become actually one of the leading centres in the UK. I actually believe it's the leading centre in the UK at the moment, the one here at Surrey Chapel. John didn't really want me to tell you that because he felt it was blowing our own trumpet, but I think it's good to know that, and I think we should blow our own trumpet in a way, because it just goes to show the hard work and dedication that John and Julia and the rest of the team, the befrienders and all those involved in this work put in. It really is fantastic, so thank you to everyone who's involved in that work. The fact is that in these 5.5 years that the centre has been running here, 316 individuals and families have been helped, and that figure is obviously increasing, as we've been told today, by another 6 every month. As a result of which, many have become debt-free, all have been prayed for, and some have even put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and come to know him as their Saviour and Lord. In addition to that, we're also excited, weren't we, to start up a job club last year, and Dawn, of course, is heading that work up, and that adds another string to the bow of the CAP work that we do here, enabling more people here in the local community and also further afield here in Norwich to receive help when it's needed most. And today on CAP Sunday, we're focusing on that need as we think about poverty, debt, unemployment and addiction. We're thinking about the fact that they can create storms in people's lives, especially in the whole area of mental health. The reality is that many people suffer from mental illness as a result of these particular storms that they face and they go through. So over the next few minutes, we're going to focus on this, and then we're going to celebrate how God is using CAP and the church to calm those particular storms in people's lives and bring about peace in them. So you might like to turn to that passage that John read for us earlier, that passage in Mark chapter 4, and we're reading from verse 35. And this is a passage, obviously, probably very familiar to us, where Jesus calms the storm. Now, this event in Mark chapter 4, which is recorded for us in at least two other Gospels, in Matthew and Luke, takes place after Jesus has spent lots and lots of time with multitudes of people there on the hillside. As in much of his ministry, Jesus has been surrounded by hundreds, if not thousands, of people who had come to him from the many villages that were dotted about the Sea of Galilee there. And having spent time preaching and teaching, healing the sick and casting out demons, answering questions and praying for people, all in the heat of the day, evening finally comes. And Jesus, as you might well imagine, is absolutely exhausted, which just goes to show, doesn't it, his humanity. And I think that's interesting because in a moment or two, we're going to find out about his divinity. But first of all, we see his human side. Just like us, Jesus knows exactly what it's like to get tired and exhausted. Here he's in need of some rest. And so having stepped into the boat with the disciples, he said to them there in verse 35, "Let us go over to the other side." And he says that in the hope that although the crowds will eventually make their way around that stretch of water, in the meantime, they might be able to get a day off perhaps, some time to rest and recuperate. Now, in saying this, you might have in your mind's eye a picture of 13 men in a boat going for a little evening row across the lake, something that we do at Sizewell, isn't it? Almost idyllic, you might think. But you know, this was no little row. No, this was quite an event. The Sea of Galilee is 7 miles across and 13 miles long for a start. Here it is. And so this request from Jesus is a big ask of a bunch of guys who are already weary themselves after a long day of ministry. And yet, despite this, they agree to make the journey in a boat, a bit like the one in this picture. And as you might well imagine, 13 grown men on a boat this size would have been a pretty full boat. It would have been a boat that was under a very heavy load indeed. And as they clamber on board, as we're told a little later on, Jesus is so exhausted that he gets into the back of the boat and he falls there asleep in the stern. Meanwhile, his disciples, who are well-schooled in crossing that particular lake, having lived around it and fished on it, many of them since childhood, they begin to row, taking it in turns, perhaps in shifts of six. They make their way across that stretch of water as the darkness begins to creep in. Now, the Sea of Galilee itself is quite unique because of its low-lying position. It actually has hills surrounding it on every side. And because of that, storms are fairly common there. The wind will very often sweep off the Golan Heights to the east. And as the hot and the cold air collide over the water, violent storms will often erupt very suddenly. And Jesus' disciples, having lived in that area, would have been well aware of this. In fact, they would have been very aware that the danger of these storms picking up on the lake was especially common in the late evening and during the night, precisely at this time that they had decided to travel. So at first, when the wind begins to pick up and the water begins to rock that little boat from side to side, it probably wasn't much of a surprise to them. But as the wind gets stronger and the waves get higher and they begin to break over the bow of the boat, anxiety, even for these seasoned fishermen, begins to set in. You see, this wasn't any old storm. This storm was a seismos, as Matthew calls it in his gospel. And that word is the Greek word for earthquake. This was some storm. And because of this, their little fishing boat was beginning to be thrown around wildly in the middle of the sea. Enormous waves began to crash all around them. Water was beginning to fill up in the bottom of the boat. And despite rowing as hard as they could, they've been thrown around now so many times that they're totally disoriented. They don't know which way they're meant to be going. They are absolutely terrified and desperate. They all think that they're going to drown. Thinking back to the work of Cap for a moment, I think that's a vivid picture for us, perhaps, of the panic and the anxiety and the fear and the hopelessness that often comes from being trapped in the storm of poverty and debt. Relentless waves after waves of bills and demands that you just can't pay. Living in fear of that knock on the door, every letter and phone call. No one, it seems, is listening. You've tried everything, even as we heard earlier, going without food to try and just pay off those bills. Apparently, as John said, an estimated 67% of CAP clients have missed meals before CAP actually come and intervene. But missing those meals makes no difference. The debts just keep spiraling out of control. Or trapped in that storm of unemployment. Every rejection letter or no response at all just adds to the feeling of worthlessness. You've tried hard, but you just don't seem to be getting anywhere. Waves of rejection just keep rolling over you and knocking you back. Or trapped in the storm of addiction. Even though you know that particular habit is wrecking your life and your relationships, it's hard to stop, and you just keep doing it again and again. You have no control. You're trapped in that current and swept along by that addiction and living in a constant state of regret. You feel so alone. You feel so out of your depth. You keep it hidden away, thinking that you're the only one. The shame that you feel keeps you silent. There's no escape from those deep swirls of anxiety and worry. You know, poverty and debt's visible effects are physical. But actually, the most damaging effects are on people's emotional and mental health. People like Kylie, who we're going to hear about a little later on. That's why 75% of CAP clients, that's 3 out of 4 CAP clients, seek medical help on account of anxiety and depression or stress. It's when we feel at our lowest ebb, in a moment of desperation, when we're all out of other options, when we feel like there's no other hope, and we're looking around in panic, just trying to see a way out. It's in those moments when it seems like God is asleep and we feel so alone. It's then that we cry out for help. Which is exactly what Jesus' disciples did here. At an end of themselves, they wake Jesus and they cry out, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And just as Jesus' disciples called out to him for help, thousands of people are calling out to people like us, aren't they? For that same help. Those who are Jesus' hands and feet in this world. They're calling out to us for hope and for help. In fact, every 6 minutes, somewhere around the country, someone who is caught in this eye of the storm picks up the phone and rings the CAP helpline to cry out for help. They're calling CAP, but they're also crying out to the church. They're calling upon Jesus through his people to help them, even if they don't quite understand that at the time. So back to this biblical account. What does Jesus do when he hears their cry? Well, in verse 39 of Mark chapter 4, we read that Jesus got up, he rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then we're told, the wind died down, and it was completely calm. There's no indication that this was a long process, that this took a long time, or that Jesus, for him, it was particularly complicated. They cried out, "Jesus, help us." Jesus stands up and he says those 3 little words, "Quiet, be still," and the wind and the waves obey. And all of a sudden, it becomes completely calm, like a mill pond. Absolutely amazing. Which leads us to ask the question, as the disciples did, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? The disciples were bewildered. They knew Jesus to be a holy man, a rabbi, perhaps a prophet. Like many people today who believe Jesus to be a good man, a moral teacher, and a wonderful example to us. I mean, yes, they'd seen him carry out many miracles before this event. They knew he had some supernatural capacity, but this miracle, this particular one, far exceeds anything that they had seen before. This particular miracle puts Jesus in a completely different category altogether. You see, we've seen Jesus' humanity, but now we see his divinity. In his exhaustion, laying there in the back of the boat, we see that Jesus is fully man. But as he commands the wind and the waves to be still, and they obey, it reveals to us that he is also fully God. One person, 2 natures. God become man. And Scripture makes no secret of this fact. Throughout the Bible, we are told that Jesus is the Creator. We read in Genesis chapter 1 that everything came into existence when God spoke by the word of God. God said, and it was so. And then we read in places like John chapter 1 and verse 3 We read there of Jesus that all things are made through him. And then in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, again speaking of Jesus, by him all things were created. So God spoke creation into existence, and Jesus is that God. Which explains why the wind and the waves obeyed Jesus' voice, because this was the very voice that they heard right at the beginning of time, right at the start of creation. It was the Word of God. The fact is that God alone is able to still the waters. And the disciples would have known that from reading their Old Testament. In Psalm 107, for example, it says this: some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. And elsewhere, in Job, for example, we read there God saying, who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, this far you may come and no farther, here is where you proud waves halt. These verses speak of the fact that only God is able to control creation, the wind and the waves. And so the disciples, seeing this miracle take place, must have realized, and maybe for the very first time, that Jesus was in fact God made man. And just as Jesus was able to calm the storm back then, he is still able to do so today. Because he's not dead, is he? He is very much alive, still ruling and reigning today. And the amazing thing is that even though he could do it all himself and carry out this work on his own, he chooses to use people, those of us who are Christians and his representatives here on earth, in order to help calm those storms in people's lives. He calls on us as his ambassadors, as we read in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, to speak for him. And there in Proverbs 31, he says that we are to speak for those who can't speak for themselves. We are to defend the poor and needy. That's the job that he has given us to do as his people, as his children. To get even more specific on a day like today, he's calling on us with his enabling to continue to calm that storm of poverty here in Norwich. He wants to use us as his people to be those channels of peace, to calm those waves of anxiety and stress and depression in people's lives. And that's something that's already being done through our debt centre, with the help of John and Julia and their team of befrienders. John and Julia and the befrienders visit clients in their homes, and they give them the support and the love that they need, whilst CAP's counselling service back at headquarters get to work on sorting out the financial matters. CAP take away all of the demand letters, and they create a budget that gives a way for people to get out of their debt. It gives them a hope-filled future. This CAP budget means that people can pay their debts and bills on time. A food allowance means that those clients can buy food for their families. And this means that electricity and water bills are paid. CAP also speaks up for clients negotiating with creditors on their behalf to get unfair interest and charges reduced or stopped, and an affordable payment plan put in place. The storm is calmed, and that noise of the phone ringing, endless demands, bills dropping through the doors, and knocks on the door by bailiffs is silenced. And the same is happening through our job centre too, headed up by Dawn and those volunteers who help her. Dawn and her team will sit down with those currently in that storm of unemployment and rejection. They welcome people into that loving community here on a Tuesday morning and help them to build confidence within themselves and belief. Over an eight-week course, they teach them practical skills, how to perform well in an interview, how to write a CV and an application for a job. They help people to realize their own potential and encourage them to take those practical steps on the road to employment. To add to those figures that John shared with us earlier, nationally, CAP helps three people into a job every working day. Psalm 46 and verse 10 reminds us to be still and know that I am God. And you know, it says these storms are stilled in people's lives, real practical storms, mental storms of worries and anxiety about being in debt and finding a job. It's as these storms are stilled that people then have the space to open their hearts and minds to Jesus. Because of course, that's what Christians Against Poverty is really all about. It's all about unashamedly pointing people to Jesus Christ, who is God in human flesh, the Saviour of the world, the one who can not only help people with the storms in this life and rescue them from that, but can also provide us with eternal life if we are willing to turn from doing things our way and cry out to him for help, for that salvation that he offers us.